Meeting will now come to order. Mr. Ellis, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mrs. Stecker, roll call, please.
Mr. Kenworth?
Here.
Mr.
Bondrad?
Here.
Mrs. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Howard?
Here.
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mrs.
Nelson? Here. We are going to begin this evening's board meeting with a recognition, and specifically a recognition of the board. And I'd like to introduce Brenda Clem, who is one of our early childhood teachers, and I believe she has something that she'd like to share with the board and a few words. So, Brenda, I'm going to give you the microphone.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thank you very much. And thank you, Board of Education. Thank you very much for giving us a couple of minutes. We wanted to say a humongous thank you from the blended classrooms over at Forest Glen, as well as the at-risk programs at Churchill. For those of you in the audience, we made a thank you note, pre-K style, of all the children's handprints and signatures, because we just wanted to say a heartfelt thank you for continuing funding for the 2013-2014 school year. For those families who wanted to be able to say thank you and couldn't come tonight, we have copies of letters that we want to be able to pass out. I'll do that in just a second. But I also brought two families who have children in the blended preschool classrooms right now who would like to say just a couple of words.
Thank you.
To let you know how vital this program is to get our kids ready for kindergarten and for Common Core. I'd like to introduce Mrs. Stevens, and she'll tell you about herself.
Two of my children currently attend the District 41 blended preschool program at Forest Glen Elementary School. I came here tonight to take a moment to thank you, District 41 school board members, for reinstating the current program for next year. My two children have loved their time in the 3 through 5 year old program for the last 2 years. 2 years ago, I received a flyer via email stating that the program had openings for tuition-paying students. Honestly, my husband and I hadn't heard of the program. Our oldest child has attended the Glen Ellen Partridge program, which we had absolutely loved. But since our twins had received early intervention services since 18 months of age and had graduated from those services at age 3, selfishly, we thought this would be a great program for them because they could be in separate classes at the same time and days of the week. We also secretly felt that the trained preschool staff would be able to keep a watchful eye on their prior weaknesses in PT, OT, and speech. We decided to enroll as a tuition-paying family. Within less than a month's time, we quickly observed our kids' love for their teachers and the activities. It did not matter that there were older students in the program, or some students who spoke different languages, or some students that maybe didn't function the same as our children. The program is truly a microcosm of society. The teachers are experts at making every child feel successful and part of a small community. They consistently model a caring culture for all students. Recently, I made a visit to each of their classrooms. I observed organized groups of children busy at activities geared toward learning concepts in letter recognition, math and volume, technology, fine motor, and creative play, disguised to the children as merely fun activities. As an educator myself, I was surprised that I could not discriminate which child might have an IEP, or an individual education plan. It was a beautiful thing. In our everyday actions with people, either in our daily or work routine, we encounter people who are different than us. We accept, we learn, and we help one another if we hope for a culture similar to what is modeled by the youngsters in Mrs. Leska, Mrs. Clem, or Mrs. Neal's classroom. Lastly, I want to recognize the dedication and professionalism of the staff of the blended preschool program. We have attended many of the family nights and parent informational meetings. It does my heart proud to brag about this program to people whom, just like I, had no idea of its existence and its power, to bring joy and laughter to some of the youngest members of the community. Thank you for sharing your expertise, warmth, and love with my children. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Laura Harani. I also have twins in the program. They're both in Ms. Brenda's class. Our story is a little different. Both of mine were born premature, started early intervention right off the bat at just a couple months of age, and we're in early intervention up until three. My husband and I were very strategic through our entire lives with these kids. We picked our house because of the school district that we were in. We picked our neighborhood and what school, specifically within Glen Ellyn School District, that we wanted to be in because of the programs that you guys offer at this fantastic school. I am so happy to be a parent of Forest Glen, and I'm so thrilled that my children get to be in the early intervention program. We sought them out vigorously, and I think I can't tell you how many times I called, did we get in the program yet? Did we get in the program yet? Did we get in yet? Please, when are you going to tell me we got in? My daughter, one of them, has an IEP, and I can't tell you what a difference it makes to see problems that could be huge problems that I read books about, could be ginormous, huge problems that I come to them and talk to about, and they say, don't worry about it. We have a plan. This is the plan. This is what we're going to do to take this big problem or this thing that could be a big problem, and we're going to break it down into little steps, and we're going to turn this into something that's not a problem anymore, so that when she goes to kindergarten, she is functioning at the same level as every other child in her class. My other daughter is very smart and is just running through the class like rampant, and the teachers have a program for her to push her farther. They do phonics, and they practice rhyming and all of these skills that they would not get at a preschool outside of the public, outside of the school. I'm a nurse, and I work with at-risk children. I take kids who are 3 and 4 who should be in a preschool, like the ones my kids are at, and tell them that they have to go to whatever preschool their public school provides because they don't have the means to put their child anywhere else. They don't get anywhere near half the education that my kids do. I am so lucky and so thrilled to be in this program. And my children will not only benefit this year, they will benefit next year because they get to be in this program again. And they will benefit the lessons and skills that they've learned here for the rest of their life. Even little things like learning a nursery rhyme. They come home on a Monday night and they say, Mom, look at the new nursery rhyme I learned today. Are they learning a nursery rhyme? Yes, they are. They're learning a nursery rhyme. But they're also learning to take what someone teaches them in the classroom, to remember it, and to be able to explain what it means at home. A skill that every child needs as they grow up in school. And I cannot tell you how much, and I love this program so much. We would be lost without it. We really honestly would with our one daughter. We would be lost. Because there is nothing for children who have problems at this age. There's nothing. You either find a great program to put your kid in, or you are stuck with putting your kid in a kinder care or a child care somewhere who does not know how to properly care for your child. After three, there's nothing. So we are so thankful and so blessed to have such a wonderful program for our kids to be in. And we are so happy that you guys decided to do it for another year. Keep it up. Keep doing the program so that other moms like me can watch their kids grow and flourish and make strides that they never thought they'd be able to make. So thank you very much for the bottom of my heart.
Can we put that up in the board room?
Sure.
In the office. Okay. Thank you for
expressing your appreciation to the board. And I know the conversations they've had and the commitment they've made to funding a program that is not fully funded by the state any longer, but which we can see has great value for our students, and what better testimony than to hear from our teachers and our parents. So thank you very much. Before we move into the agenda, I do want to make one note before we have public participation, and that is that many of you have a blue sheet in front of you, and you will notice if you take a look at that, that the recommendation that has come from the administration to the board relative to the think tank proposal has had some modification made to it. The modification, in summary, requests that we have teacher specialization at grades 2 and 3 across our district, and that we have teacher specialization and multi-age at 4 and 5, with all other elements of the recommendation remaining in place for phase 2 and phase 3. So that's why it's on a blue sheet, because it does represent a change, and so the board will have a chance to discuss that a little bit later.
Thank you, Ann. We have public participation now, and I know you've heard me say this for the last probably several meetings, but I'll say it again. Members of the public who wish to present to the board, we welcome your comments. We ask, because I know that most of the people in the room are interested in the conversation, discussion, and the vote that we'll be taking tonight on Think Tank. So if you can limit, again, your comments to 3 minutes, and you and I can keep eye contact. And if your comments have substantially been reflected before in other comments, we ask that you bring to the table your written comments and forego those. And then again, any written copies to the board would be welcome by email or even tonight. Right? We have three green sheets that have been collected, and so let me invite in a fourth one, if you want to, you can bring it up. First, Amy Wotroba. Thank you, Amy. You can go up there, yeah. So. A good mic.
Hi, I'm Amy Wotroba. I'm a fourth son mom. I am certainly in favor of change in the district, and I'm certainly pleased to and happy with the decision to amend the proposal to be implemented consistently district-wide. I still believe that the current proposal involves too much change at once, and that it involves both teacher specialization and multi-age at the same time. My concerns with this are that if you implement two big changes at the same time, you won't be able to accurately assess which one is working and which isn't, and then make changes accordingly. Therefore, I think it would be more prudent to proceed, at least for the next year, for this fall, with just implementing fourth and fifth grade teacher specialization, not multi-age. And then during the following 2 years, subject to benchmarking and lessons learned from the fourth, fifth teacher specialization, possibly consider teacher specialization in lower grades, third grade, and possibly second grade, and then possibly piloting a fourth grade multi-age classroom. I understand that many people may say, why should we wait? Why shouldn't we just go ahead with both changes at once? And I think that I understand that making several changes at once may seem to get us where we want to go faster. But I don't think that's necessarily true. If you think about a science experiment, if you introduce multiple variables at the same time, it is impossible to determine which variable led to the ultimate result. If you get the result you want, then who really cares? But what if you don't? Or what if the result is close to what you wanted, but not exactly there?
1 minute.
Okay. I point out that the curriculum is already being changed in the fall for all grade levels. Adding additional changes will make it difficult for teachers to assess what is working. And we should also keep our options open. For example, we may find that more fully assessing students on the Fontes and Pinnell for literacy works for the kids by giving them like learners, and also works for the teachers by allowing them to reduce the number of ability groups in each classroom, and that may lead us to rethink whether multi-age is really necessary to narrow the band, which is the main reason that multi-age has been given by the administration. Therefore, I'd ask the court, or the court. I'd ask the board to consider moving forward only on teacher specialization. And I would like to end my comments by reminding the board of actually a comment that was made in May of 2012 by the administration when discussing the foreign language initiative. And that the quote is, quote, "The common message we received from all the programs we visited was to do it right, have all the pieces in place, and don't try to do everything at once." I submit that the same principle certainly holds true for this larger initiative, and that it would be wiser to proceed only with, in light of the fact that we're making changes to the curriculum already, to move forward just with specialization this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Kristen Travers. Kristen Travers.
I'm a parent from Churchill. My oldest son is in seventh grade at Hadley. I have a fourth grader and a second grader who will both be impacted by the decisions made here this evening. I am in support of all of the recommendations from the think tank. And I wanted to address tonight the fears that I have heard recurring about multi-age at many of the recent meetings. From 1994 to 2002, I was a fifth grade teacher in District 25, which is Arlington Heights. When I was hired, I understood that they had an excellent reputation as an innovative school district, and I was proud to be a part of their team. They have 7 elementary schools and 2 middle schools, which equated to over 5,000 students. I'm not sure how they're viewed today, because I'm no longer employed there, but it was an excellent place to begin my career. When I was hired, all of the elementary schools had multi-age classrooms. Some had more sections than others, depending on the school size and the principal's comfort with it. It was not a board decision, at my understanding. You can find research that supports pros of multi-age and cons against it, but I really do think it comes down to the individual leadership philosophy. In 1969, Mary Stitt, who was the principal at Olive School, started the multi-age program, and it became a model for many other school districts. Their school, while I was teaching, had the most sections, and while I was in the district, they even had many sections of a 1, 2, 3 multi-age classroom, first, second, and third graders all together. When she retired, the school was renamed after her because she was held in such high regard for what she did for her students. Sorry, my hands are shaking.
1 minute.
I know, I need a podium here.
Kristen, 1 minute.
Thank you. My school had a 1-2, a 2-3, a 3-4, and a 4-5, which meant that at some point, if you wanted to be in multi-age, you had to have a straight grade. Because it was so popular, I got many of the students in my fifth grade classroom who never were in a straight grade. And ironically, their parents were more concerned about being in my straight fifth grade classroom because they enjoyed the benefits of the multi-age. I still keep in touch with my colleagues, and the number of multi-age classrooms has decreased with the changes in the leadership based on superintendent and principals depending on their comfort level. The 4-5 at my school has continued. My colleague is in his 19th year of teaching a 4-5, and he would be very disappointed if it was taken away from him. The two principals I had were very supportive, and the current one that they have now is planning to bring back more sections of multi-age. Over the years, thousands of children have passed through those multi-age classrooms. They were extremely successful in middle school and beyond. There was no problem transitioning to their middle schools. While I was there, our superintendent received the Illinois Superintendent of the Year Award. I don't know what the criteria is for that, but I have to imagine that the multi-age
15 seconds.
Thank you, did not impact that in any way. When I started 8 years ago, I was disappointed in this district. I am thrilled with the leadership that we have had now. It is reflective of what I experienced. I am only sad that my seventh grader will not have the opportunity for these proposed changes. I'm very much excited and looking forward to the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Susie Thomas. Susie?
Hi, everybody. I'm Susie Thomas. I'm a resident of Glenelg, and I'm also a fifth grade teacher at Franklin. I want to thank the board for all the work that you do. I had no idea until I became involved in presenting the think tank proposal as to how much work and dedication and patience your job entails. I want to thank all the patients who kept an open mind and made a huge effort to understand all the nuances of the think tank proposal and how it would work for your child at your particular school. Thank you for your continuing encouragement and support. I want to thank Karen and Ann the four principals, and my fellow members of the think tank for their innovative leadership and endless efforts to communicate our plan with everyone. I want to thank our extremely professional educators and colleagues for their freely given candid input, concerns, questions, creative solutions, list of to-dos, and ultimately their willingness to embrace and eagerly support this initiative. Our think tank has envisioned our future and designed an innovative configuration to enhance and strengthen the education of each of our children, our quality, handcrafted, unique Little League learners. Additionally, teams of educators from each school chose the implementation design that they were ready for, and I felt that this professional educational choice should be an honor. But I also agree with tonight's stuff as well. The think tank proposal is our district's opportunity to move our children ahead of the rest and model what the future of education looks like. We have the highly educated professional staff necessary to successfully and creatively implement it. I urge the board to approve the think tank proposal tonight because I strongly feel it will give our district the distinct ability to truly move into the 21st century and to give our children the strong and necessary educational advantage that they will need in their future. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Linnea Urbanowitz? Linnea?
Hello, I teach fifth grade at Churchill, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to give a teacher's perspective. I've been on the think tank with all my members here since the beginning and have seen this process really evolve due to support from staff and community input as well. And I just wanted to say that I'm very excited about all of the components. I'm excited for the opportunity to stay with children for 2 years and develop that relationship with families. I'm excited for the multi-age aspect where we can narrow the band and work with kids every day based on their needs instead of seeing the middle group or whatnot every other day. And I'm finally excited about specialization, which, as Scott, my principal, knows, at the beginning of the year was almost in tears in his office. How can you choose? I love teaching everything. That's why I'm a fifth grade teacher and not a sixth grade teacher. However, I can only liken our job to the picture of the cat in the hat on the ball with the umbrella, with the fish tank and the books. And I'm sure people can relate what we're being asked to do with the rigor of the Common Core and the amount of lessons and differentiating for reading, for writing, individual conferences, integrating social studies within the literacy block, planning for science, setting up experiments, differentiating homework, differentiated activities, parent phone calls, emails, grading, entering into Pinnacle. It is a juggling act. And so the fact that we could improve and perfect on our craft is exciting. And so I just wanted to thank the board for the time, the amount of hours that you've spent reading emails, answering emails, attending forums, speaking with community members, being receptive and open-minded. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your consideration of this proposal. And I'm just excited about the future. Thank you.
Thank you. And Stephanie Clark.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
My name is Stephanie Clark, and I have children both at Forest Glen, and at Lincoln. Is that better? I'm here to present the Board of Education and Dr. Reebok with the petition signatures. Currently, there are 577 signatures on both online and paper petition that ask for a delay or a possible pilot to the district-wide implementation of the Think Tank Initiative for this coming school year. And I just want to be clear that the petition does not dispute the actual changes themselves and whether or not we should make them. It was more asking for a change in the manner which we were planning to implement them. So just to be clear on that. The think tank proposal that was presented at the last board meeting and then has changed tonight isn't responsive to this. It is not a pilot, but a partial implementation where all changes will be made to 4th, 5th, and 2nd, and 3rd over the next 2 years. I would ask the board that they only approve a consistent and well-planned rollout, such as the one described by Amy. This would allow for several important things. It allows us to obtain measurable results. and implement change on a smaller scale where we can gather data and research, which is currently lacking, to demonstrate if the changes are beneficial before we move forward from 4-5 and then move forward to 2-3. 1 minute, sorry, okay.
That's okay.
It allows time to establish stakeholder buy-in. The teacher support seems questionable at best, with the anonymous survey results conflicting with the plan proposed by the principals. And based on the petition signatures and numerous emails the board has received, the parents and community have concerns. I worry that we are doing too much too fast with many unanswered questions. In my hand are almost 600 petition signatures for those community members who agree that we need to slow down the implementation plan. If you do not feel this is enough concern on behalf of the community, I would suggest that you conduct a survey to gauge buy-in of the model as it stands. However, I feel that almost 600 signatures represent a significant number of families with children in our elementary schools. We are professionals, engineers, educators, consultants, but most of all, we are parents, and we have taken the time to educate ourselves on the proposed changes. We aren't trying to stop our district from making change or progressing towards 21st century learning. We have children that are directly impacted. They won't get a second chance at these next few years. Clearly, we want what is best for our kids, for all kids in D41, including children in special education, ELL, students who just struggle in general, and even gifted learners.
15 seconds.
We want them to grow up and be successful and happy in this world. That is the only reason we are here. I would ask that the board take into account the almost 600 and growing voices who are your neighbors, friends, and community members when you make your decision. Thank you.
And we'll make this available to board members. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak to give comment tonight? We have public participation also at the end of the evening, just so that you know. Anybody else?
I don't have to speak. I just said during board discussion, if you guys can clarify how you'll handle specialization with classes that are at odd number of classes, like if you only have 3 third grade classes. If you guys could cover that during your discussion, that'd be great.
Curious what the ingoing superintendent thinks.
Excuse me. If you have board comment, then we'd love for you to present that. But this is not a dialogue in terms of questions. But send the question or write it down so that we can then respond to it. So tonight is for public comment. Our regular board business meetings provide for public comment, but not for dialogue in this forum. But we are happy to, and I know all board members have been responding to emails, so please provide for that. Any other public comment? All right. Okay, we're going to get into our agenda, our consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda be considered separately? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes human resources, our personnel report, employment recommendations. And this category was added since the preliminary report, so you have that in front of you. Our finance, facilities, and operations, treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue, expenditure summary report, our summary of bills and payroll, school district payment order, vandalism damage report, our disposal of surplus property, and the 2012-2013 FOIA report. And then under other matters, the approval of board meeting minutes from February 25th, 2013, our regular board meeting, and then February 25th, 2013, regular Board of Education meeting, closed session. May I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Bondurant?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Glass?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr.
Kenworth?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson? Yes. Superintendent's recommendations.
The next item on your agenda is the think tank proposal, which, as I indicated a little bit earlier, has been modified slightly to create consistency across all of the schools, which was one of the items that we heard from the community and which the board has had a chance to discuss and listen to. And so the new recommendation asks once more, I'm repeating, partial implementation of the think tank's proposal to include the following: teacher specialization at grades 2 through 5, multi-age class groupings for grades 4 and 5, and implementation of phase 2 and 3 of the think tank proposal. Discussion for the board.
So moved.
Oh.
Right?
Yep.
Second?
Second.
Okay, second from Drew. Discussion.
Can I just ask two clarifying questions? Mr. Conestani had asked about implementation of when we have odd-numbered sections, and I think Mary, you touched briefly on that the other night at Forest Lawn. Could somebody just give a little bit of clarification on how we can address how that might be something that we'll look at?
We've already had preliminary conversations.
Karen, could I ask you, with people in the way back, I know you love the microphone. Thank you.
We had preliminary conversations at, I think it impacts Franklin as well, and Forest Glen, and Churchill as well. And so we've already begun to, like, what we might be able to do, and they've asked us to consider, can we add another section? We didn't bring that forward as part of the recommendation, but wanted to, and I can kind of check with class-based targets, we still want to keep that in mind. It would definitely impact that, but we'll continue to have those conversations. And we do, it's always important to see where those numbers fall, mm-hmm. and especially as you start to look at them as, a larger group of students, can you still kind of balance them or not? But we have had beginning conversations around what that would look like. But I don't have a specific answer to say, yes, we're definitely saying that that's what we would go with. Okay. Dan, I don't know if you could add to that.
Well, I think the two options we're looking at right now, without getting final staffing numbers and looking at how closely our enrollments hit our targets, would be odd numbers, one teacher not teaching specialization but having to teach everything and the other teachers teaching specialization. Or we've looked also at, we've laid out, I think the principals one afternoon with me, we laid out all of our sections and looked at ways in which we might be able to combine while someone is able to specialize and perhaps teach two different grade levels or some other configuration. So each school will probably be a little different, just as we do with all of our staffing decisions and what we ultimately come to. But those are the options that we have right now before us.
The other question that I had, I received a lot of emails and about, you know, and I keep getting this phrase of new curriculum. And it's my understanding from attending many meetings, listening to presentations, that there is no new curriculum that is being implemented next year. The STEM science curriculum is not rolling out next year. So there is no new curriculum that is being rolled out for next year. Is that, am I correct in that understanding from what I've listened to over the past several months?
Yes, you're correct.
Thank you.
And Linda just mentioned, I'll just talk, I think you can probably hear me. Second grade will experience new modules, as will first grade, but it's still grounded in the Common Core, and it's just a tighter integration of social studies. And at math, we're compacting and accelerating the use of everyday math by a grade level. But the teachers already are familiar with everyday math. It'll kind of have that consistent feel. They'll know the resources, but it's still grounded in the Common Core standards, which is what they've been immersed in for the past 2 years in the content area.
Thank you.
Other comments?
I will say that I've had some concerns with the work of the think tank, I think, since its inception. And as a result of that, I went back and I looked at some of the materials I found when I was first running for the board 2 years ago. And I came across a website, it's called forourchildrensfuture.com, which I found somewhere. And on it were enumerated responsibilities of the school board. Some of those, not all of them, here's a few of them. Set the district's vision and goals. Adopt district policies, hire a superintendent, manage district budgets, manage the collective bargaining process for district employees, provide parents and members of the community with a voice in the education of their children. And I picked all those because I think that I personally have been involved in all of those things during the last 2 years that I've been on the board. And I've tried to do all those things to the best of my ability. Having said that, as I look through the revised plan tonight, several things come to mind. First, the hard work and dedication of members of the think tank, the administration, and our teachers put in on a day-to-day basis. I don't think that can be stated enough. Second, the uniformity of the implementation throughout our elementary schools. I realized that there's a change, and I was concerned with the potential disparity in learning throughout the district, and that was a problem for me, and this change addresses that concern. Third, I'm encouraged by the removal of the 2-3 multi-age grouping at Lincoln in phase one of the revised plan, and that addresses my own concerns as well as specific parental and staff concerns that we, or at least I, have been hearing. Fourth, I will say that I still have concerns about 2-3 specialization and 4-5 multi-age grouping, which remain in the plan. However, I realize I'm not an educator, and I'm deferring to the teachers who gave us their level of comfort on these issues. And I'm referring to, obviously, the original teacher survey, which was anonymous, in my view. And those results were 69% in support of the 2-3 specialization and 70% in support of the full 4-5 multi-age. I do realize that that's not 100%, but I also realize, and I think we all have to realize, that we're not going to get 100% support on anything for any reason. A quick anecdotal story on the 2-3 specialization. I didn't think about this until, I don't know if it was my wife or maybe it was my daughter that told me this, who's a fifth grader now at Lincoln. And when she was a second grader, she was in a classroom with Don Bredfeld and Margaret Peter. And they were in a job share situation. Those of you at Lincoln who have had those, I think we can agree that they were both exceptional teachers. We're unfortunate that they are no longer here, but that's reasons that we cannot control. Dawn, as we know, was a math specialist or was favored in math, and Margaret was the literacy teacher. And the kids would always say that they were disappointed when one or the other would switch morning or afternoon because Mrs. Bedfell couldn't teach literacy and Mrs. Peter couldn't teach literacy. That may or may not be true, but that's just what I heard. And I can say that my daughter, that my fifth grade daughter is, you know, of course I'll say she's exceptional, but she's doing very well and she wasn't negatively impacted by this in any way. I'll also say that during this whole process, I did what any child would do, and I called my father. And those of you that know me, and maybe those of you that don't, know that he was a teacher and a principal for many years. And he was the principal in the elementary school that I went to when I was growing up. So you can imagine what I had to go through every day. But he reminded me that, and I had forgotten this, he had reminded me that I had multiple teachers for different subjects beginning in the fourth grade. And that was back in the 70s. And I think I did that okay. Some might differ, but I think I'm okay. I do remain concerned about the speed of the 3-year phase-in in this proposal, but I will rely heavily on the evaluation aspect of it and trust that it will provide a true and honest assessment. Further changes and modifications are warranted as a result of the evaluation. I trust that the administration will implement them at the appropriate time to continue to provide what is best in the best interest of our children. And I think that's really what we all really want. That's it.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you.
Well, like many board members, have received a lot of emails recently, especially in the past 24 hours. I appreciate those. A lot for, a lot against, but that's okay. We appreciate your comments. One of the things that I always try to keep in mind is that this bar is being raised and we can't avoid it. The bar is not going to be pushed out by another year. It's still there. So that's why I really appreciate some of the aspects of this proposal. I am glad to see the consistency now across the district. That was one of my earlier concerns. And I am a parent of a first grader at Lincoln. And I am a bit disappointed that I'm not going to see the multi-age next year. However, this is a proposal that I can support, and I look forward to the next year when he is in that multi-age program.
And also, I'm sorry.
And I appreciate the Lincoln staff. I know you guys really got together, spent lots of hours, and, you know, I just want to let you know I do appreciate all the conversations that you had. And I'm You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you were a little disappointed that you weren't able to implement this next year.
So, after listening to these guys, I don't know how much I can add. Very eloquent speeching. I guess my issue has been the standardization, and that issue has been resolved. Based on those issues, I can feel comfortable moving forward.
Thank you, Drew.
Thanks.
Sure. I really don't have anything planned like these guys, but I was a product of multi-age in first and second grade, and these guys know I'm messed up, so maybe that's not a good thing. You know, for me, I went back to the survey one last time, and I felt that, you know, the part about 78% supporting a structure of literacy and STEM was strong enough to support specialization in the structure. I think Sam referred to that statistic. And then the other one for me is just the support for 4 or 5 multi-age being high as well. So both of those things lead me to like this proposal better. I felt the 2-3 was clearly not as clear for me in terms of support, and really maybe not support as the, as someone said, just the readiness or the timing of it. So I do feel that this proposal is significantly better, and I like the fact that it's consistent. That was important for me as well. So those are my comments.
Thank you, John.
Oh, yeah, there's one other thing. I do, in this process, I learned a lot about the parents and their love for the teachers and what the teachers do. And that was very important to me because I believe that from an implementation perspective, these teachers will make this happen. And it was just great to hear the support and the love and the admiration and respect for the teachers and what they do. And they will make this happen. And because the parents believe so much in that, I believe in that as well. So thank you, parents, for reminding me of that.
Thank you, John.
Many of you could probably guess from day one I've been extremely supportive of the think tank and the work that they've done and each and every proposal that they have brought forward. And I've been supportive for many reasons. First and foremost, I know that this process has been going on for quite some time. As has been made aware, at every step of this process has been made public. We have an incredible amount of leadership amongst our staff, professionalism amongst our staff, and as a board member, I can't tell you how much that I appreciate all the work that you have done on behalf of kids. For the past 8 years, I've been blessed to watch our staff evolve into a district that, in my opinion, has become extremely forward-thinking instead of entrenched in the old manner of teaching that most of us in this room probably grew up in. So for that, I thank you. I've spent a great deal of time listening to different people come up and tell us what their background is, which gave, in the hopes that that would give us a little more perspective or context for their perspective. So I thought, for those of you who don't know what my background is, I thought I would share that with you tonight. Not only am I an attorney, I'm an attorney who represents kids. Every day in my professional world, I represent those children who can't represent themselves. With parents, children who come from abused and neglected homes, children whose parents are no longer living and who now live with others, children who become the product of adoptions, and truthfully, I've actually represented many children within this Glen Allen community. I share that fact with you to give you some context about where I come from when I make decisions for every single child from pre-K and our early childhood at, I believe, 18 months, all the way through eighth grade. So I don't just think about the children that went to the school or schools that my children have attended. I think of each and every child that passes through our doors for whatever program they participate in. That is the place that I come from. I received an email, as all board members did today, reminding me of why I became a board member. So I thought I would share with you again why I became a board member. Because I felt that I could offer something to all of the children of our district to make this a better place to go to school. And I believe that I have done that by serving all of the children within our district and our community. And by that, I support our staff and the initiatives that they bring forward to do what's best for kids. I trust our staff, as many of you parents have stated repeatedly that you do too. And I can't tell you how important that is to hear your support for the work that they do. Because truthfully, for many of us, they may end up spending more time with our kids on a daily basis, unfortunately, than we do. And that's a hard fact, and it's a hard fact for us to accept sometimes, but that is the truth. So I thank them for that, and I thank you for trusting them and what they have to say. I also wanted to point out that our children are not widgets, and many of you have pointed that out as well. And that's why sometimes you can't have hard and fast data, because children change, they evolve, they learn, which is exactly what it is that we wanted them to do. So in the spirit of our learner characteristics, which I have beaten that drum quite loudly for several years, I'd like to thank our parents and our staff for exhibiting those habits of adaptability, resilience, collaboration, open to diverse viewpoints, challenge-seeking, and being future-oriented with global perspectives. We also appreciate the skills of mediating conflict peacefully and assuming responsibility for learning. And as Ms. Clark pointed out tonight, yes, this Board of Education wants each and every child to grow up to be successful, and that's why I am supporting the proposal this evening.
I don't know if I have much more to add to what's been said. I just want to echo, you know, all the hard work that's gone on to this for 18 months. You know, this work really was bottom up. I mean, from the board standpoint, it came out of our five-year plan renewal and really just a, you know, one-liner, rethink what we're doing to meet 21st century learning. And it's really, you know, came out of that, and it's really ground up from the teachers. And I was, through this whole process, I'm also, as John said, I'm glad we heard, you know, parents are generally very happy with all the teachers in the district right now and the way things are going. And this is really a plan that these same teachers are saying they feel they can better meet the needs of all students. So I really have to support it from that standpoint. Again, I just want to thank all the hard work that's gone in here. I've read all the emails I've gotten. I really do take to heart everything that people have said, but I do want to support this plan. I'm glad we're doing things consistently across the district. I know that's one. I think we've responded to some of the concerns parents have had from the beginning. I know, maybe there were some communication issues when it first came out, and I think we addressed those, and some of those issues were probably born out of what we saw in surveys. Responses where you've had parents that say, I didn't quite understand this initially, but then when I really heard about it, I really kind of liked what's going on. I've never heard somebody say, I was initially for this, then I heard more about it, and now I'm not for it. So I would say, you know, when we see those surveys, you're generally going to say, once somebody learns more about it, they tend to learn more and then tend to like the aspects of the plan that we have. So that's all I have, so I'm going to support it tonight.
Thank you, Steve.
It's not necessary to clap, but thank you.
I'm going to pick up a little bit on what Sam was talking about. This past Saturday, for those of you who attended the Saturday morning forum, we had it in this room. I think we're going to miss being at Hadley for our next board meeting.
I don't think Hadley.
I know Hadley's not going to miss us, though. And the first question that was up on the screen was whether or not board members agreed with whether or not we should vote on this recommendation. And it was a really good question. And what I want to share tonight from my perspective as an individual board member is that that one of the biggest challenges, I think, for me has been feeling like we have gotten into the weeds a little bit in terms of our role as, in terms of governance. And, you know, as Sam was saying, and it's a great list because it really, I think, is almost exhaustive on some level in terms of what we do. We're responsible for delegating authority to the one employee that we hire, the board, and that's the superintendent. And they manage the district, and they provide leadership to the staff. The school board's authority is communicated through written policy. Sam and I serve on policy committee now. I served with Dan before, and I think Steve, or really Bob Solak, who was on the board. And while that's not the sexy committee, because it's not the money and all that, it's really the work of the board and what we do so that we can identify the vision and the long-term planning. Every board member has spent significant time, but not just board members, and we've already reiterated this, the teachers and staff, and every parent and community member who sat down to either write from their heart or even cut and paste an email that we read several times, meant that they were looking to find their voice. Now, there are some people who still feel like they haven't been heard, and for that, I'm sorry. But I do believe with all my heart, knowing the amount of time that's gone into this and knowing what has not gotten done on some level in terms of other district work because of the length of time and the amount of energy put into this, that your voices have been heard. And I have an inbox on my email that has 147 emails that I will keep because this, as Dan has suggested and other board members, is an ongoing process. There's one comment that we received in emails that I want to clarify, and that is that there's an expectation that board members represent the individual voice. And I have to challenge that a little bit or at least clarify it because we're elected to be stewards of the district and, as I said earlier, to set policy. Not always an easy thing to do. And I almost feel like tonight's decision and in grateful response to the faculty and the teachers and the principals that have come to this, it's almost Solomon-like. But this district has more than 3,600 children in it, and every night when I come home from work, I drive on North Avenue, and there's a little house on the right-hand side of the street that is a little bit of a duplex, and it's actually set in a business. And about 4 years ago with Holiday Sharing, I, along with a couple of other parents, delivered gifts to that home, so I know that they're District 41 students. So the cultural and socioeconomic backgrounds of our students are a really vital part of some of the decision-making that we make, of course. So, you know, I, too, am supportive of this. I want to make sure that the board recognizes and that all of us sitting here recognize that we have a very unique role as stewards of the community, having fiduciary responsibility, but also responsibility to move this district forward, not only in the year, but in 5 years from now, and even 10 years from now. And I know I speak for board members when I say that we're proud to be ambassadors, which is what we often are, for a district made of community members sitting here and those who can't be here tonight, who really so deeply care, that you would spend this much time. And I welcome you to continue to care, to continue to come back, and to be partners with us in education. So thank you. All right. Any more discussion? Roll call, please.
Ms. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondra?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes. Item number two, class size targets. At its February 25th meeting, the board discussed the administration's recommendation for current class size targets to remain the same as they have been for the last 7 years, and for approval of a process for reducing class sizes in certain situations. May I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation?
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion? No, I know we've been through this, and you know we've aligned this in terms of where we had to make some recommendations at different schools, so we're really in the same place.
We are, and as I said,
and as I said to you earlier, there is a possibility that we'll look at class size targets in light of content specialization, and we'll continue to look at it also in terms of performance for our highest risk schools that have not met AYP targets. Mm-hmm. So that factor will not go away, and so if we bring something back, it could be a combination of that recommendation, but we're still pretty early in the staffing process to be able to give you any indication of that.
Thank you.
Can you remind me what's the small sections at Churchill, third and fourth?
The third and fourth small section at Churchill is a transitional bilingual classroom.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
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 Yes. Third item, 2013-2014 proposed school calendar. At its February 25th meeting, the board discussed the administration's recommendation to approve the 2013-2014 school calendar, with teachers beginning the year on Monday, August 19th, 2013, with four institute days, and the first day student attendance of August 26th, 2013. I have a motion to approve the administration's recommendation.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Models the high school, right, Dan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they generally approve their calendar. Yeah, well, a good 6 months before us. So if you have an issue when we have spring break, you're best to go to District to take Lombard.
Talk to that, Dr. Yeah. Larson.
Well, in action,
have a different spring break than the high school.
And actually, we are pretty similar across mm-hmm. the
yeah. Most of DuPage County does the same. Right. So.
Yeah. So I think a highlight is, we're starting on a Monday, mm-hmm. and then we got an extra 5 day week versus this previous year. So,
right. And Dan brings up a good point. I think when we looked at the calendar and really broke it apart, it was a couple years ago where we worked hard to increase those 5 day weeks, so we weren't creating 3 and 4 day weeks. So I kudos to Dan. This is the second year on calendar committee.
And the rest of the committee.
And the rest of the committee out here, wherever you are, Mary, et cetera. Because it is a little bit of a Rubik's Cube, but I think we've landed on a nice calendar in terms of alignment as well.
So I would just say the only, it's a major negative for me, but probably a minor negative for everyone, I was disappointed to see that November 1st is not a non-attendance day for students.
The day after
Halloween. Because if we all remember our Halloweens, they're late, and our children need lots of candy, and they're not ready to go to school in the morning. And some of us parents aren't ready for that.
Well, trick-or-treating ends at 7 o'clock.
Not for Sam.
Not for Sam, evidently. But.
So I'm just saying I'm a little disappointed in that, but overall,
thank you,
sir. It's a good question. I just had a curiosity question. Today is the first day after the time change. Did the teachers notice anything with the kids? I know some districts actually take it off, I just learned, so maybe that's something we could.
You'd have to take
about
a week off to get adjusted.
Oh, fine for you, sir. You're rolling off the board. Well, you're going to be a calendar committee next year.
Not me.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Sam. All right, roll call.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrack?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr.
Mark? Yes. Superintendent's report.
Well, first I'd like to begin with appreciation to the board for your support of Think Tank, but also I'd like to extend my appreciation to the teachers who are here who have given so much of their time, and I know really selflessly over the course of the last 2 years, and Karen, who has led them through that process and the principals, but the kind of devotion to trying to uncover and discover what is going to be best to face the future, and a future that's uncertain. And so, likewise to the parents who have expressed their concerns and the pace of our movement perhaps being too quick, we see that somewhat differently. But, unfolding learning is always an exploration, and it doesn't unfold in easy packages. And so the work that you have done over the last 18 months to try to build a pathway that you think will best meet the needs of all of our learners in meeting the challenges that lie ahead of us is extraordinary. Your work with each other has been extraordinary. Your dialogue has been extraordinary. You have challenged each other. You have exemplified everything that we identify as a professional learning community and everything that we want to see happen in our classrooms with our children as they unpack and unfold and learn together with each other. So thank you is not enough, but certainly tremendous admiration for all that you have done is in my heart for you. The next item I'd like to mention to you is that Phyllis Hanna, who is somewhere here, I believe, among us, oh, there she is, has just been awarded the Monarch Award with the Illinois Association of School Business Officials. And that award is one of the most prestigious awards that IASBO gives, and it's for service not only over time, but service of an extensive nature that goes well beyond the work of being a part of the finance office. And I can attest just personally that Phyllis is a Renaissance woman. She is a person who not only has committed herself to being a financial expert and someone who helps move our system forward, but when we sit around the table as an administrative team and we're talking about learning, it's you know, I don't let Bob or Phyllis or anybody else get off the hook on that one, but Phyllis is a learner with us, and she's someone who always has wonderful ideas and perspectives to add to our conversation, and when we become too entrenched in a certain perspective, she's certainly there to help us take another look at things. So congratulations, Phyllis, on this unbelievably prestigious award for you. And finally, while he's not in the room with us, I'd also like to congratulate Brian Pindar, who was selected by his peers in the district to be the Educator of the Year and will be recognized by the Chamber of Commerce at this weekend's breakfast at 7:30 a.m. at the Prairie. It's at Glen Prairie, isn't it, I think, again this year? Brian has... you know, is highly valued, and we've seen lots of feedback on the Patch article in the Herald. Was it in the Herald? Patch article, anyway, in terms of testimonials from parents who have also had a chance to enjoy Brian and his work. And then finally, something more mundane. We have two board meetings that I'd like to discuss with the board. One is the April 22nd meeting, and wondering if it's possible if the board might entertain moving that meeting to April 29th in order to accommodate the PTA has scheduled a legislative forum for the 22nd, and that is unable to be changed. And so it is the fifth Monday of the month. We're fortunate in that respect, and I'm wondering if board members might consider being available and moving our meeting from the 22nd to the 29th. And then finally, I sent an inquiry to board members for May 6th as the reorganization meeting, and have heard from one board member that he is not able to make it to that meeting, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah? Maybe. You're a maybe?
I'm mostly tentative.
Okay, tentative, I'm sorry.
May 6th is the Lincoln...
The Lincoln field trip.
That I may or may not be chaperoning.
Okay.
So that's why I'm tentative.
Okay, so other board members, May 6th, that's a special meeting, it's a short meeting, it's a way for us to... say goodbye and thank you to our board members who are retiring, and bring on the new board members.
Is that at 7 o'clock?
That we can have it at any time we want, but I would think we'd probably do it about 7. It's usually about a half-hour meeting because we don't do business at that meeting. Is that going to work for everybody?
It should, but not, yeah.
Okay, I will send invites to you all on that, and look forward to you responding. And that's it for my report for this evening.
Thank you, Anne.
So are we moving the 22nd to...
I'll send it.
Oh, okay. Send it in.
I just want to make sure you had it on your...
Board committee reports. Finance facilities,
Drew?
Anything from earlier?
We had a...
Hefty
agenda. Yeah.
High
low.
We had a very, very fun, packed meeting with basically six items on the agenda. We talked about the Churchill Intercom replacement proposal, the Simplex Grenal fire plant panel service contract. We talked about a small adjustment to the budget, which needed to be amended. We had a discussion about student fees. We had an adoption of the amendment addressing the 401(3B) retirement plan, and Mike presented a three-year technology plan.
Thank you very much.
Sam?
Policy, no report.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a recognition for Sam as well.
I just received something from, we weren't able to recognize you at the canceled dinner last week, but IASB wanted to send its appreciation to you for serving as a delegate for District 41, and so I think your certificate is in the mail.
Get a fun pin.
I have LLT.
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
We had LLT last week, and I want to thank the subgroup that came back with the finalizing the learner characteristics that will be begin next year, and a really kind of interesting way that they're bringing it forward to work with the kids is, again, about self-assessment and the elementary students having pictures and having the students working and identifying and conferencing with their teacher and then reporting with their parents and how they're working on these different characteristics. And we had an update from math committee and, again, looking at the compacting of everyday math and also working on LLT had another discussion about the 30 minutes for first grade regarding the timing of our foreign language program. So I think in the end it's going to be decisions will be made about that soon and then with building input as well.
You want us?
Yeah. Do you have one, Dan?
Sorry, I guess that's more of a recognition. Since our last board meeting, I attended with my family Spellapalooza, and I saw a lot of familiar faces there. Saw Dr. Reebok was a judge, and then I think every single grade school had a team. Hadley had two. One was teachers, one was students. So that, I wonder if 89 is getting a little feeling the heat or what. I don't know, maybe next year. And then, I don't know if Brian is here and the rest of his team, but the Wildcat Warriors were runners-up again for 2 years in a row. Congratulations.
And note that they had to go to a speed round before they got to use their get-out-of-jail card.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they saved that.
Yeah.
Until the end.
Yeah.
They
didn't get to
use
the strategy. Thanks, Dan. One other area under item B is just a reminder to the board members that the superintendent evaluations are due with your comments to me on March 20th. I'd like to turn those around to everybody before spring break since I'll be going to visit my daughter in Spain.
Ooh,
so
nice.
I want to get that done for everybody. And then I did set out a timeline so that we could stay aligned with our board policy on evaluation, and I know that folks have that. So when you get a chance, put that in, and then I'll turn those around so everybody has each other's comments. Reminder of our PTA and board representative responsibilities. I know I have Churchill tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, the Churchill PTA meeting. And again, if any of us struggle, I know we've been trying to be good about contacting each other if we can't make the meeting during the day. But I do hear from PTA presidents especially that it really does make a difference to have a board rep there. So with all that we have going on, I think it's a good thing, and it's just another touch point of communication. So if you can't make a meeting, let the rest of us know, and we'll all dig in and try to help each other out with that. And that's it. Any other? Okay. Let's see, discussion items.
Our first discussion item this evening is, I think everybody can hear me, can't you? Our first discussion item of the evening is a printer recommendation from Mike, and it is a refresh of all of our printers, and it does bring all of our printers onto a single refresh cycle. This was presented at finance last month, And one thing that's worth noting here is that we are replacing printers slightly differently, but still the same amount of printers, and Mike has yielded a savings of about $100,000 for the district in this printer refresh. So we're pretty pleased in getting it on a single cycle, as well as saving some money along the way.
Thank you, Mike.
So it's basically a one-for-one
exchange. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at a little lower capacity printing because our numbers are not showing that we need that kind of high-capacity printer. It will always be a lease program, especially when we buy something like this on a refresh that is going to be turned over. Any other questions?
This comes back to us on the 8th.
And the next item for discussion is it's called Stay System for Skyward True Time Implementation, and it is will replace our timesheets that we use currently for some of our support staff. It is a Skyward module. It's a piece of our Skyward system, and so it's a purchased item and will allow us to connect directly from timesheets either for some of our support staff to our teachers who do timesheets directly to payroll and be a much more seamless process. We have had a request from our AFSCME union to bargain this, and so we will meet with them because they view this as a change in working conditions, but we expect to work with them and find out what their interests are. But this will be something that will just really, you know, help automate and remove some more of the paper out of our operations. So we're very excited about the possibility.
Okay, is that it? Upcoming meetings, April 8th, Board of Education regular meeting, 7:30 p.m. at the Central Services Office in the boardroom. And then we will possibly be changing the April 22nd meeting that's on your agenda to April 29th. But again, that will go up and be notified through e-news and other tools. That's also at 7:30 in the Central Services Office. Any other matters to be considered by the board at this time?
Right. Can I just want to say thank you to anybody who's still here from the pre-K program. I you have no idea how much those type of recognitions actually mean to us, because that's a program that we really don't get a chance to see on a regular basis, but yet we hear about it. So to see their smiling faces on the pictures and their handprints really kind of reminds us as to the lives that we truly impact by the decisions that we make. So thank you.
And one final thing I'll just mention to the board, which I think I've indicated to you before, Dr. Gordon will be in the district next week and meeting with me and cabinet and getting around a little bit to the district. We're hoping to peek in on the dress rehearsal of Honk so that he has a chance to see what great Hadley performers we have.
Right, public participation. Is there anyone who'd like to provide public comment to the board at this time? If you could introduce yourself, and then when you're done at the mic, see Mrs. Stecker. She's in the white sweater, and you can fill out a green form so we have it for the record. Thank you.
My name's Cal Kafka. I taught at UIC for the last 43 years in the math department, but today I'm here sort of as the Lorax. There's a lot of children in the district here that are being bullied at their schools. I go to the school to pick up my grandson on a regular basis, and I see it going on, and it's very upsetting to me. So I wanted to make a point of coming here tonight. I've read the policy. I know the policy is great, but apparently it's not being enforced well. I see the looks on the kids' faces that are being bullied, and it's horrible. I'm a grandparent. I don't live here, but I came anyway just to let you know what I see.
Thank you very much. Any other board comment? Welcome. Yeah, thank you. And then again, just fill out a green form for Maureen so we can get it in the record with your name and address.
Thank you, by the way. Sorry for interrupting.
That's okay. I know. It's a business meeting, so we just want to keep our protocol.
My name is Brian Hubrex, and I'm a concerned Lincoln parent about the think tank proposal. And my Quick question, whether Dr. Corden, the incoming superintendent, how is he being kept abreast of the proposal, and what does he think of it? Has he had input in it? Just wondering if you can elaborate on that.
Dr. Gordon has read all of our materials on the think tank. He is experienced with STEM and specialization of content. He is very excited about the proposal as we originally presented it. He's not had any input in it. He's not a member of Think Tank or hasn't been a part of those conversations, but is looking forward to joining and getting up to speed on that. Part of our transition plan will be to ensure that with all of our initiatives, the Think Tank and other things that we're doing, that he's fully immersed in that. And I think it was, you know, he did a lot of research about our district before he applied. And so I think by looking at our website, looking at the materials that were already posted there for Think Tank, helped him to realize this was a good match for him. And that's typical in the application process, that you look at a district that's aligned with where your own beliefs are. And so I think it'll be a great transition and a great opportunity for him.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comment? Sure, Penny. Will you fill out a green sheet?
I really just want to say thank you so much for all of your support and all of your hard work with everything. We're all looking forward to next year, and it was wonderful to hear all of your heartfelt discussions tonight.
Thank you. Thanks, Patty. All right. Anything else? Okay. The board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the following matters: collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity, the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Second.
Mr. Kenwood and Mr. Ellis. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondurant?
Yes.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much, everybody. There'll be no action when we return to open session. Thank you for being here.